This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The great Bobby Belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Are the Cowboys getting corner help sooner rather than later? Sure appears to be that way with some optimistic timelines shared by Brian Schottenheimer over the weekend at Cowboys rookie minicamp. Josh Butler, who was one of the, I think, the positive uplifting stories in the second half of last year, the guy who was like a 29-year-old rookie and had just grinded to do everything he could to hang around the NFL, got an opportunity to play with the Cowboys, had some good games, made a difference for him down the stretch when they were winning games. And then it all ended in just a devastating fashion when he ended up suffering a knee injury at the end of last year. His rehab is going along a lot better than was initially anticipated, it sounds like. The new timeline, according to Brian Schottenheimer, is that he could potentially, Josh Butler, be on PUP, physically unable to perform at the start of camp. He said it's really early still right now, but he's doing great in his rehab. He's here every day. He was one of the first ones here, one of the last ones to leave. And so Josh Butler, who they were kind of excited about in terms of what he was showing on the field for them, that would be a really quick turnaround if he was going to be able to be ready within the PUP window, which would be first 6 weeks or so of the season, because he tore his ACL on Thanksgiving. And you remember, a lot of people felt like Michael Gallup was rushed back too quick when he was hurt around the same time.
Yeah.
So if Josh Butler's able to be, if he's able to get healthy and be ready for the first 6 weeks of the season, that helps a lot with the questions about Trayvon Diggs and about where Savone Rivell, their third round pick out of Eastern Carolina, where he might be. With Cowboys rookie minicamp going on at the end of last week, Savone Rivell did get a chance to talk to reporters and talk about where he's at with the status of his knee injury.
It's good, man. Like I said, I've been working on my knee as much as I can. I'm going to get the Cowboys and training staff and come back as fast as I can and work as hard as I could. Right now, I can pretty much do everything, running straight line, cutting, haven't got too much into that. Just trying to take it day by day, trying to take it slow.
So there's two ways to look at this.
Two ways.
You can be glass half full or glass half empty. Yeah, I know. Glass half full says you're getting two corners back. Like, you were worried about the depth there. You're getting two guys back potentially for the start of the season. Glass half empty might say, okay, if we're like celebrating the salvation of Josh Butler, who barely hung on into the league after 6 years and got an opportunity after a bunch of injuries, and we're hoping he might make PUP and not be available for those first 6 weeks. And then Savone Rivell of just, oh my gosh, he's cutting on the grass right now.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to throw a third round rookie out there and have him ready to go to play significant snaps. Is that more concerning than optimistic for your Dallas Cowboys here on May 5th, 2025?
It's first thing that comes to my mind is that's a lot of ifs.
Yep.
A lot of hope.
Man, if the ifs add up, if the ifs on your team are longer than the word, it's a bad thing.
Okay.
A lot of Rangers are. The word?
Yeah, if you have more than two ifs on your team.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I think that's generally bad, right? Because if.
I thought you were a homeschooled.
Breaking news. Breaking news, two letters.
Yeah.
Oh. So to me, you can have two ifs. You can have two ifs on your team.
Ravel's a guy who, even if he was healthy right away, there's still questions about, like, how raw is he? And where's his technique at? I mean, this is going to be an important week for him. Yeah. The stuff that's really important for him right now is going to be the classroom stuff anyway. They don't need him running around out there at camp. I mean, he'll do work with the rehab group. But honestly, the big thing for Savone Rivell is just making sure he's getting technique down and he's learning different aspects of that. The guys they drafted in front of him, the first two, Tyler Booker from Alabama and then Donovan Azaraku from Boston College, those are two guys who are, like, they're pro ready. They're ready to go. If you want to just talk about pure pass rushing ability, the traits of getting to the quarterback and having a toolbox to be able to counter some of the things offensive linemen do, speed, all the little tools that go into that. Donovan Ezeraku is probably the most pro-ready pass rusher that was in the draft, even above Abdul Carter.
Whoa.
Like, in terms of just ready to go and ready to contribute right now, that's him. He's a smaller guy, like we talked about last week, Chop. He's 6'2", 245. He gets compared a lot to Yannick Ngakoue, who's just pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. Doesn't really do anything in the run game. Ezeraku will at least contribute in the run game. It's just he's a smaller guy, so he tries to dip around tackles. That loses the edge sometimes. But he's pro-ready, and he said a lot of his pro-ready nature came from playing for two former NFL coaches, Bill O'Brien and Tim Lewis.
Two former NFL coaches.
Bill O'Brien and Tim Lewis at Boston College.
You know, I would go into their office, and they, you know, we would just talk. And, you know, that talk would lead to, you know, now I'm asking questions about, okay, what is it really like? You know, and Coach O'Brien, he helped me, you know, get my body right, you know, for the entire season. I appreciate him for that. Coach Lewis, he put me in, you know, great positions on the defense. You know, he put me at edge. He put me, you know, floating around over the three, over the guard. He, you know, he had me standing up, you know, kind of, you know, roaming around linebacker area. So I did everything, and I appreciate them for that.
You can hear just the people, type of person they were going for in this draft. Yes. Every single one of them when they talk. They're all, I mean, Ezeraku was a captain at Boston College. One of the common questions that came up for Revelle and Ezeraku with the media over the weekend were the questions about NIL. Like, hey, you're at East Carolina, you're at Boston College. You had to have had some offers to be able to jump. And both of them said kind of the same thing. They were like, yeah, there was more money out there. I wanted to be loyal to the program that was loyal to me. They gave me my shot. This is like my team. These are guys that I'm close with. There were some things that were more important to me than just whatever payday I could get from NIL. And that's something that would really resonate, I'm sure, with the Schottenheimer regime and everything that they're trying to do is the idea of, all right, what kind of a culture guy are you versus just what kind of player are you? Now, player-wise, they still got really good players. They still got guys who are really ready to contribute right now. It's just the culture aspect of it is clearly something that was a blinking light on their first three guys that they took.
I thought your corner tease was going to be about Jalen Ramsey, as the Dolphins are saying that they're still working on a trade with him. So
we have a fourth rounder for next year still.
Amari!
Yeah.
So, oh, there you go. Yeah.
What was the Amari feedback last week?
Everybody universally was like, yeah, bring him back.
Sure.
I think with Amari, there's a little bit of get the band back together or the one that got away feeling. I mean, when we talked about Mikko Rantanen and the things that he did as like a late season addition, Amari Cooper was, when I was thinking of other similar players, Amari was one of those. Like, Amari got here and completely flipped that team around. That was a team
Save
headed
the passing game.
Yeah, that was a team heading for, they were 3-4 when he got traded for and 3-5 after the first week. And then they went on that 7-game winning streak. They finished the year 10-6. They win the division. So he was I think there's still a lot of love for him and a lot of thought of just what did we miss. They may get hit with a sobering reality pretty quickly if he ends up signing here, but it's something where I think a lot of people just still feel like, yeah, Amari was a great route runner, and it's nuts to think about. He's still just 30. He's 35.
If you talk to me about Amari before the draft, I'm like, he's washed, he's cooked. But with the status of the receiver room right now, yeah. It totally made me be like, beggars can't be choosers.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, sign it up for cheap and then, you know, hope to find something else on top of it.
If they
had to work out one of these big trades they were hyping up.
Right, yeah, if they had gotten somebody in the draft, obviously just give them a shot. But now that you are sitting where you are and the prospects of Mingo as your two, a possibility based on the room, you got to look somewhere else.
I was asking Choppy this last week. Do you think Amari Cooper at 30, he'll be 31 next month. Do you think Amari Cooper at 31 and what we've seen from him has the potential, given his history with Dak and everything else, has the potential to be more for you than what Brandon Cooks was when you traded for him? Or do you think, because I don't know that he's even Cooks at this point. I don't know.
Are you seeing it? Or are you hearing from people who watched
him? No, I watched him in Buffalo and Cleveland. He did not look great. Now, he may have been banged up. I don't know. Yeah. We've seen issues with him in the past. Some people have felt like
he was missing so much in Buffalo. I would ask on the air sometimes, is he active?
Yeah.
Is he even playing with an MVP quarterback?
Right.
What the heck happened?
Well, and I mean, if you look at the postseason, he did essentially nothing in those games.
He had four catches?
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely nothing. He couldn't do anything for him in the postseason. He had, I think it was three catches. He was targeted basically once a game in their playoff run.
Brandon Cooks here had that 54 catches for 657 and 8, and then last year, 26 for 259. So you ask me about...
Year one, basically, of Brandon
Cooks. Year one,
Cooks.
54 for 657. I don't think I'm getting 8 touchdowns. No way. But I think I could get that.
I think I can get that production. Can I get the efficiency? Like, I felt like Brandon Cooks is 650 yards. Like, we all felt like, why aren't you tapping into it more? Like, he could do more for you. I feel like that's just what Cooper could get for you if you really max out what he can do right now. Because he had 6 catches during the playoff run for 41 yards. And in those games, he played 27 snaps, 21 snaps, and 32 snaps. So, I mean, he was getting opportunities within the offense and just was not seeing them through.
By the way, we do have some breaking news out of the world of college football. The old self-imposed punishment.
Oh, baby.
For Sherrone Moore at Michigan.